Welcome to the River Church Podcast.
We're all about bringing the life, hope, and love of Jesus to everyone around us.
For more information, check out our website at river-church.uk.
Can I start with a question? Ignore the voice. I think God wants to speak, even through my croaky voice. Have you ever messed up? No, have you ever, really messed up? Messed up so badly that you couldn't hide it. Messed up so badly that actually you couldn't fix it yourself and you needed someone else to help you get out of the mess. I have. A lot. Amen? Timby, not too loudly. A few years ago, I'd just started my job as, in the treasury as an economist, and I was the housing market economist over there. I was loving it, life was good. And, there was a conference in Brussels on the housing market. And so they said they'll send me as the housing market economist. I was so excited. I wasn't gonna mess this up for the world, no way. My first traveled trip, and it's abroad as well. God is good. So, I even packed. I did all my pre-readings in advance. I packed extra notebooks and pens, even packed extra socks and underwear just in case. I wasn't going to mess this up. I even got to the Eurostar early. If you know me, you know that's a miracle. So the conference started at 9 a.m. registration, 8:30 on Monday morning. I got there Sunday, 6 p.m. And opened my suitcase. Everything I needed was there. My backup socks and underwear. My extra notebooks. Everything I needed was there, apart from my shirt. Uh-oh. So I quickly grabbed my phone, ran out, not knowing where I'm going, but at the same time as running, I'm running to the train station whilst I'm Googling where's the nearest shirt shop open. Sunday, 6 p.m., Brussels. Yeah, it was tough. I quickly realized that I can't actually dig myself out of this one. Okay, let's be real. If you're related to me or perhaps have been seen speaking to me in public, you might want to close your ears. I needed to find someone who'd let me use their shirt. And through their shirt, I would have access to the conference the next day. That was what I set out to do. Amen? As Mary J. mentioned, we're continuing our series of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews is a letter, and it's actually a sermon written as a letter. And the congregation of the sermon are Jewish Christians who are well-versed with Judaism and the traditions and the laws. So actually, you may be, and it's written to try to encourage them not to give in to the pressures from persecution, right? Not to revert back to their old, comfortable Jewish practices that they're so familiar with. And so you may be wondering, okay, Gary, what has this got to do with us today in the 21st century Christians in Britain? But actually, I think Hebrews does so well at finding, revealing, and then explaining the images of Jesus hidden within the Old Testament. And then I think each chapter basically finds an image, stitches it together to try and give us a bigger, fuller, more in-depth picture of who Jesus is from different angles. So today we're looking at chapter 7, which talks about Jesus' role as the high priest. We've got quite a bit to cover today. So I'm going to have to work hard. You're going to have to work hard to keep up as well. But actually, guys, I think there's good stuff in there, right? It might take us 20 minutes to break through to the coconut, but I think the milk is good. So I want to encourage you, come on, dive deep with me. And I think we'll find at the bottom of the river, at the bottom of the sea, there's a treasure trove. Amen? Amen. So I've decided to have a little bit of fun with this sermon. Because I've realized, so Hebrews itself is a sermon, and I'm supposed to be preaching a sermon. So instead of me, preaching my own sermon about a sermon, which also references other scriptures in the Bible, I'm just going to preach Hebrews, I'm going to preach his sermon. And I'm going to do it perhaps in a bit of a dramatized reading of Hebrews chapter 7. But I'm not going to use NIV. I'm going to use the Amplified Gary 2025 version. Before we begin, right, let's two things to know, a bit of background. First is the role of priests. So we covered this in part 4, which Colin spoke on, and part 6, which Q preached on. So feel free to watch those if you want a refresher. But in sum, right, summarize. It all begins with sin and our sinfulness, my sinfulness, your sinfulness. And because of our sin, our unholiness, we are unable to have direct access to a holy God. And so we see in the Bible that God would every now and again allow a person to access his presence to enable us to then get access to God through this person. And so that's what priests are. It's a priest's role to stand before God on behalf of man in order that mankind can access forgiveness and God's grace. And so that's usually through offering sacrifices. Okay, I hope that's helpful. The second piece of helpful background is Psalm 110. So Hebrews 7, which I'll be preaching through today, is really an explanation and an interpretation of Psalm 110. So if you don't know, Psalm 110 is the most quoted and referenced psalm in the New Testament. I think it's with good reason. It's a psalm written by David, not all of them are. And it belongs to a group of psalms called the Royal Psalms. Some people call them the Messianic Psalms. It's because these are psalms which are sung in anticipation of the coming Messiah. These were prophetic psalms which looked forward and gave us an image and told us about this Messiah who had not yet come. And Psalm 110 begins with the line, "The Lord said to my Lord." The Lord said to my Lord. And you can see behind me on the picture on the left-hand side, or your right, I guess, is the first Lord is written in capital letters, and the second Lord is written in small letters. And whenever you see this in the Bible, capital letters Lord, it's a substitute. It means the original Hebrew would have been Jehovah or Yahweh, which is the closest thing we have to God's name. So what's going on in Psalm 110 is it's written in the person of God the Father speaking to the Messiah who had not yet come. Okay, hope that helps. Psalm 110, it's God the Father speaking to the Messiah who had not yet come. Okay, as I said, I'm going to have fun with this sermon. So I'm not going to be Gary. I'm going to be the writer of Hebrews. You can call me Rabbi. And so for our scripture reading, it'll be Psalm 110. And again, I think Psalm 110, it's a poem, it's a song. And for us to get the essence of it, I can't do it justice because I'm not artistic like that. But I've asked Kyle, who's going to come up. Give him a clap, please. Kyle is a spoken word artist. He's going to do a spoken word for us, which is his take on Psalm 110. And hopefully that will help you, encourage you. And then then Rabbi will then come back after.
Good morning, everybody. That's him. So let's set the scene. A glimpse into the heavenly realms, an eavesdrop to divine conversation, an intimate moment within the Trinity. The Father describing the extent of their domain, like a lion, king of all, sitting on the edge of the pride lands, the earth, the Son's inheritance, his kingdom even stretching beyond where the light touches. Every corner of the earth has been promised, and nothing shall stand in its way. Enemies left in disarray, empires, regimes, and earthly powers swept away, and his judgment final on the last day. A certainty that cannot be escaped. An ordination will take place. The title of priest bestowed on the Son of Man. A king's time as ruler may rise and fall like the sun, but our Lord will be our priest forever.
Amen. Thank you so much. Please give him a proper clap. That was so good. Thank you very much, Kyle. So if you have your Bibles, if you want to turn to Psalm 110, this is Psalm 110, and we're particularly going to focus on verse 4, It's a bit highlighted, and most of them are in verse 4. Shalom, brothers and sisters. If what you're after is atonement, that is, at-one-ment, that is, to be at one with God, then if what you're after is atonement, then Jesus is your superior high priest. Let me use this prophetic psalm we all know and love very much, Psalm 110, to convince you of this. I'm gonna convince you and persuade you that Jesus is a far greater high priest because of three things. First, he's much more powerful than the high priests we know. Second, he's eternal. And third, this is the good bit, he's your inside man. First, Jesus' priesthood is more powerful than the Old Testament priesthood. And we see that in Psalm 110, verse 4. Where do we see it? Have a read at verse 4. It says, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." Who? In the order of Melchizedek. What does this mean? Let's find out. Let's talk about who Melchizedek is. So Melchizedek is a character that appears in Genesis chapter 14. And he appears as Abraham is coming back from winning a battle, right? And so Abraham's coming back from winning a battle, and he meets Abraham. And what does he do? Two things. He offers Abraham bread and wine, right? Some sort of communion, right? Almost like a Passover before Passover was even there. And then the second thing he does is he blesses Abraham. And in response, Abraham gives him a tenth. Abraham gives Melchizedek a tenth of all that he has. And that's it. That's all we know about Melchizedek in the Old Testament. The only other time he's mentioned is Psalm 110. And so that's in Genesis 14, four verses. That's it. But actually, I think if you look, read between these lines, look a bit deeper, you'll realize that, wait a minute, there's something about this Melchizedek. He can't just be any old priest. And that's because I think there's hints that this guy is a powerful guy. He's a superior, far more superior to Abraham. We see this because Melchizedek blesses Abraham, right? So in today's world, I should say also, if you want to follow along in your Bibles in the NIV version, you can see the scripture I'm at on the bottom of the screen. But Melchizedek blesses Abraham. In today's world, you know, you might buy me a lunch and I might be like, "You've really blessed me." Right? But that's not really what the original meaning of blessing means. This blessing is talking about a blessing with divine authority. That is to bless someone and something happens, something effective happens spiritually. This is the kind of blessing we see when prophets speak a blessing over a nation, or fathers bless their children. We see this in the New Testament, so parents would bring their children to Jesus for Jesus to bless. This type of blessing really only happens from someone who's superior, blessing someone who they have authority over. That's what we're seeing. Melchizedek blesses Abraham. Okay. Maybe that doesn't convince you enough that there's someone who is more superior than the father of faith. Maybe that doesn't convince you enough that there's someone more superior than the father of nation. Let's go to the second thing we see happen in Genesis. Abraham responds by giving Melchizedek a tenth of all that he has. All right, so there could be two things going on here. Bear with me. We're digging deep. We'll get to the treasure soon. But there's two things going on here. It could be that he's paying a tax because Melchizedek is a king and priest. So maybe he's honoring Melchizedek's kingship. Or it could be the tenth of Abraham's possessions is really honoring Melchizedek's priesthood. I think it's the latter because look at the context, right? He's responding to bread and wine. He's responding to a blessing, right? And then he gives Melchizedek a tenth of all that he has. This Melchizedek guy is a superior guy. You might be wondering, but Rabbi, why is this important? Why are we getting into this nitty-gritty? Okay. What I'm trying to say is... What the psalmist is trying to tell us is that Jesus' priesthood is superior. It's in the order of Melchizedek. It's a much higher, much better, much more powerful order, right? Just as how Melchizedek was more superior to Abraham, Jesus' priesthood is much higher, much more superior than the Old Testament priesthood we know about. But why would God give us another priesthood? Why would we already have the Old Testament priesthood? Why would God give us Melchizedek's priesthood? It can only be because that the Old Testament priesthood we know is not powerful enough. It's not effective enough. It doesn't do everything we need. It doesn't draw us closer to God enough. And so God gives us Jesus' priesthood, which comes totally out of the priesthood of the Old Testament priesthood. Youth, if you're out there, when I was your age, sometimes we collect trump cards. Sometimes there'll be footballers or Pokemon or Yu-Gi-Oh! Or whatever. Think of it like this. This is what the psalmist is trying to tell us, that Jesus, this Messiah, he's far superior to Melchizedek, who himself is far superior to Abraham. Second point is Jesus, our high priest, is eternal. We see this in the scripture where it says, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever. See, Jesus isn't just more powerful. He's not going to expire. He's not going to fail at some point. He's not like that latest car or even our houses. He is eternal. You won't need another one. You see, unlike the priests would come and go. In the Old Testament, Jesus is the one and only. He sacrifices once and for all, powerful enough, and the only one you will need. There's only a few times we see God swear an oath by his own name in the Bible. And it's when he wants to really convince you and guarantee you that things won't change, that you can have confidence in this. And God is telling us we can have confidence in Jesus' ability to draw us closer to God, in Jesus' ability to allow us to access God's forgiveness. Another thing which is interesting, the psalmist is telling us, is God has sworn. No other priest is guaranteed by God swearing an oath. Look at that as a certificate of being a priest compared to the Old Testament priests. Their certificate, all they needed was to be born into the right family. They needed to be born into the right tribe. Hashtag Nepo baby. If you know, you know, right? But compare these two certificates, being born in the right family versus having God's name signed, his signature saying, you are a priest. There are different levels here. Jesus is far superior. Old Testament priests, they'll die. They're mortal sinners like you and I. But Jesus, he's not a sinner. Death tried, but it could not hold him. Jesus has victory over death. And because of the power of that indestructible life, we can have access to God. There's no firmer foundation to rely on but Jesus. But wait a minute, Rabbi. Is this not a change in God's plan? What's going on here? No, it's not. You see, this is all part of God's progressive plan. Jesus fulfills God's ultimate plan, which is for man and God to be united. Jesus accomplishes everything the Old Testament system could not. You see, the Old Testament system and its covenants, it wasn't wrong. It was God. God gave it to us. It was useful, but it was limited. And now, God gives us Jesus, the perfect high priest, who without sin, who offered the perfect sacrifice for once and for all. And I think it's with these two things that Jesus is a much more powerful high priest, and that he's eternal. I think it's these two things that give us a powerful high priest. By the way, in the end, I did find someone who lent me their shirt. Oof. He was a young man like me. He looked like me. So I thought he would be able to empathize with me, know what I'm going through. But it wasn't without a cost. He lived like 45 minutes outside Brussels on the train, and I followed him. Sorry, I know my parents are listening. Followed him to get a shirt. Well, it wasn't without a cost. He charged me 25 quid to borrow his shirt overnight. Don't worry, guys, I still pray for his salvation every day. But look, guys, ultimately, he was the only person that could allow me to access this shirt, which allowed me to access the conference the next day. He had access to something which I didn't have. He was a bit of an inside man, right? He could speak, is it Belgium? French or Belgium, whatever the language is. There's probably two languages there. But he could also speak English, which I could speak. He was a bit of an inside man that knew the system, that could help me. I'm so grateful for this guy. Part three. Jesus, our high priest, is our inside man. What is our high priest doing with all this power and this eternal? He's being your inside man, our inside man. So we see this in the first verse of Psalm 110. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand. Wow. Our high priest is sat at the right hand of God the Father. I'm taken back by that, guys. I just said, our high priest, okay, let me rephrase. Our representative, the guy standing for us, the guy we have to rely on, he's sat next to God the Father? Oof. Let's go a little further. You see, as Christians, I think we're pretty good at remembering the incarnation of God. That is, God becoming man. That is the birth of God. We're good at remembering his crucifixion, his death. We're good at remembering his resurrection on Easter Sunday. But we're not very good at remembering his ascension. His ascension into heaven. Jesus hasn't just disappeared. He hasn't just, you know, he's not just vanished. But he's ascended into heaven. And he's doing something right now in heaven. What is he doing? He sat at the right hand of the Father. I should probably explain what right hand, to be sat at the right hand is. So closest thing we have these, we don't really use that phrase. We probably use a bit of be the right hand man. Again, we don't use that often these days. But as an example, a couple of years ago, I was my brother's best man at his wedding. And that's an example of being his right hand man. So I was endowed with the power of the day. The platinum diamond ring. That was the power of the day. That could change things. That could make things happen or not make things happen on that day. I had his phone and the PIN for his phone. I had the ability to make transactions on his behalf if needs be. In fact, when people came and wanted to speak to him, it was my job to guard him and protect him. And so when people spoke to me, as far as they're concerned, they spoke it to my brother. I had that authority, the right-hand man, to be sat at the right hand of the Father. That's our high priest. You've got an inside man. Jesus, your high priest. Okay, Rabbi, okay, I'm kind of following, but Rabbi, what is he actually doing sitting at the right hand of the Father? Your high priest, our high priest, is interceding for us. He's praying for us. We get into the treasure trove, guys. We're almost at the bottom of the sea. But hang on with me. This is the exciting bit. Jesus is continuing his role as a high priest as he sat at the right hand of the Father. He's able, and that's why he's able to completely save us. That's why he's able to guarantee us good access to God, because he's been given that authority. And I want to touch on three things that Jesus is praying for. First is our guilt and our sin. I don't know about you, but I've been a Christian for a while, but I still sin. I still mess up horribly. I shared a light example, mainly because all my family are here. But actually, it would have been so much easier for me to share an example where actually my sin has affected others. Right? I don't know about you. Perhaps if you work with people, perhaps you got part of a club, you live with people, maybe a spouse, a parent, children. But it's so easy for our sin to really affect people. And in that, so for example, it could be that, you know, you're not paying people the respect they deserve. It could be that you let your emotions or your anger get the better of you. And there is some sin which I don't like to remember, I don't like to think about. It's buried in a box somewhere at the back of my mind, and I dare not mention it. What is it for you? Actually, no, it doesn't matter, because Jesus, our high priest, is powerful and eternal, and he's your inside man. He's fighting your corner, endowed with the authority of God the Father. He can grant you access to God. You see, if we approach God through Jesus, God looks at his son. He looks at the nail marks on his hands and his feet. He looks at his side. He looks at his son, and Jesus nods his head and says, he's one of mine, Father. And we're granted access to God the Father. And so Christ has become the guarantor of our faith. Guys, don't miss this. This is profound. Okay, look, it's not Jesus sat there begging God, saying, oh, but God the Father, please let them. You don't understand. Let me rephrase. What's going on here is God the Father, the Godhead, so loved the world that he created, the people that he created, that he stepped down from heaven to earth, became man in himself, so that man can have man representing man as part of the Godhead. Woo! As part of the Godhead, we have man representing man, Jesus, your high priest, your inside man, praying so that sin doesn't have power over you. Addiction, whatever it is, it doesn't have power over you. We call this the cosmic temple. Jesus is the high priest of the cosmic temple. He's not just the high priest of the earthly temple, which, you know, these high priests, the Old Testament priesthood, who you want to cling on to. No, forget the Old Testament priesthood, the earthly priests, the ones you can see. I want you to cling on to Jesus, the high priest, who is... So the Old Testament priesthood, they were merely an image. It was merely an image, a picture of the heavenly priesthood. And so that's why my brother Paul, in his letter to the Romans, says, who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who has died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of the Father, who indeed is interceding for us. Amen? Amen. So Jesus is praying for our guilt and sin, but he's also praying for our faith to be strengthened. In other words, God is not just in the business of helping you get forgiveness. God is in the business of helping you become more like him. He's in the business of helping us be molded and shaped to be more like him, helping us become better people. Jesus in the book of Luke, in Luke's account in chapter 22 says, Simon, Simon, Satan has demanded you to have you, that he may sift you like wheat. But I have prayed that your faith may not fail. What's going on here, it's almost like if you know the story of Job, Jesus is saying, I have prayed that your faith may not fail. As Jesus prayed for his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, surely he's praying for us now whilst he's at the right hand of the Father. Sister, brother, whatever that sin that has a grip over you, that habit or that behavior that seems to have your number on speed dial, perhaps it's your relationship with tech, perhaps it's gossip, perhaps it's covetousness, perhaps it's pride, whatever that is, Jesus is your inside man. Fathers, perhaps it's not like that. Perhaps it's not so much sin. But maybe, like Job, your faith needs to be strengthened amidst external pressure. Perhaps life seems to be closing in on you, and your faith is kind of struggling. Perhaps, actually, it's overwhelming you. Perhaps it's finances, it's health, your family, your relationships. Jesus is your inside man. You see, trials and tribulations may come. Persecution may come our way. But we have an inside man, speaking to God that this situation doesn't break you. We have an inside man speaking to God that sin, those chains be broken. He is carrying you. He is carrying you. You may feel like you're alone, but you're not alone. You may feel like this sin, you just can't stop. Jesus is going to carry you through this. And as you come out of this season, as you come out of that context, you will find that your faith has been strengthened. You will find that you know God like you've never known before. He is carrying you. Whatever you're going through, Jesus is with you. And the final thing I want to touch on that Jesus is praying for is actually he's helping us pray. In Romans 8:26, Paul says, "The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." So even when we don't even know how to pray, Jesus is helping us. Could we stand, and perhaps the band could come up, please? We're going to bring this sermon to a close, but as we respond, can I encourage you to just reflect on what God has been saying to you, on your personal situation, how God has been speaking to you. In a moment, we're going to, I think there's probably two or three groups of people here. I think the first group, perhaps you're focusing on really how you shouldn't deny the power of God for your sins to be forgiven. Do not deny Jesus' ability to help you access God. But perhaps a second group of you may want to reflect on how God is working in you and is making you more like him. And he is powerful enough to do that. No matter how many times you mess up, no matter how broken you feel, you're never too broken for God. He is powerful enough. As a high priest, our Jesus is interceding for us. He's powerful enough for that. And so in a moment, we're going to take communion. I think a third group is perhaps some of you are not a Christian here. Perhaps you're exploring. That's fine. You're more than welcome here. But if that's you, and today you've been like, actually, I feel God has been speaking to me. And I want to recognize Jesus as my high priest. I want him to represent me. If that's you, I think there's a way for you to respond as well. How we're going to respond is we're going to take communion or breaking bread. And as we do that, can I ask you to, actually, we're going to do it a bit different how we normally do it. I'm going to ask you to get your communion, keep hold of it as you sit. And then once everyone has their communion, I'll come back and we can take it together. And I'll explain why we're doing it that way. And if you're not a Christian, communion is normally for those that aren't Christians. So we just ask you to let it pass you by. But as I said, if actually today you want to say, I want to become a Christian today, then this is a way for you to make that step. And if you do make that step, you know, we encourage you to come and speak to any of the leaders so that we can support you on this journey. That's the only reason we'd ask you to do that. Amen? So let me hand over to the band, and I think the ushers will usher us to the communion, then I'll come back up. Thank you.